Welcome back, footy fans, to another episode of Donnie's Disposals. I am your host, Coach Donnie Hess here, back with another off-season supporter series. And as I told you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going through the waffle and sample, trying to find fans of each of the clubs to sit down and have a chat to tell me about them and about their love for their club. So today we've got another Sandful supporter. I will leave the club out for just the littlest bit until we get into it. Joining us from Melbourne. So we'll leave it there. Melbourne, yeah. We have Craig. Craig, thank you for hopping on the podcast today.
No worries, mate.
Truly appreciate it. So before we get into the footy, before we get into the nuts and bolts of this, I kind of like finding out just the littlest bit about the person that I'm chatting with outside of footy. So if you could, just a little bit about yourself outside of the game of football.
Yeah, no worries. I grew up in Adelaide. So I was born and bred South Australian, and my dad's an accountant, so I followed his path. So my brother did as well. So we're all accountants. I work remotely for a tech company called X-Team, which is amazing. And love my sport, footy, cricket, basketball, very heavy into NBA, Chicago Bulls, and love my video games and technology.
Fantastic. Absolutely love it. So let's hop into it again. Born in SA, SA mad. They love their footy. So I got to ask, what is your favorite thing about the sport of football?
The SANFL is my favorite thing about football. And my team, of course.
Fantastic. I love it. So let's go into your early loving memories. Give me your earliest footballing memory.
Okay. Well, it's funny, the way I became to support my team was when I was little, my father actually goes for a different team. And when I was five, one of my mum's friend's husbands said, "You need to go for this team. You need to go for this team." And I don't know why, but I did. And I've been with them, been with my team ever since. So ever since I was five. So I can remember having a scarf of my dad's team, and then ditching it for my new team. And one of my earliest memories is that I was at a game, which was one of our club players, Peter Carey, was his 400th game. His 400th league game, and my team was taking on my father's team, and we were smashing them. I was at the fence, and I remember turning around to dad and giving him the middle finger, and I was only like 6 or 7.
I love it. That is fantastic. That is definitely taken over as one of my new favorite stories of how they come to be. So those that have kind of seen it on the YouTube channel, and I know when they see this and they click on this, they'll know this. But really quickly, your club that you support, and I mean, is there anything else besides your dad's friend that helped you become a supporter of this club?
My club is the Glenelg Football Club, the Tigers in the SANFL. And no, really, it was just my mum's friend's husband just convinced me. I think at the time, I think they were winning. They won their back-to-back flags in 85, 86. So that was around the time that I did. But I actually wasn't aware of that at the time because I was so young, But no, I think, Tigers, and it just resonated. So I just fell in love with it and have ever since.
So I got to ask, as you said, you flipped off your dad at 6 years old. How is the banter? What's the family club? Since they're not Glenelg Tanners, what's the family club, and how's the banter when you have family functions?
Well, their team, my dad loved, has followed it for years, West Torrens, which is the Eagles, but which merged in 1990 to be the Woodville West Torrens. So the Woodville Warriors and West Torrens merged. So now they're the Woodville West Torrens Eagles. So the Eagles is my fam, all my uncles and my dad and mum go for the Eagles.
Fantastic. Absolutely love it. All right. And just, I love finding this because it's always so much fun. Like I said, I'm learning about all of these clubs. And like I said, some of these have really rich histories. Could you just give me a little bit of a history lesson about the Glenelg Tigers?
Yeah, they came into existence, I think 1921 was their first year. So they've been around for over 100 years now. So we've only won 6 flags, unfortunately, but two in the last 4 years, which has been amazing since the previous one to 2019 was 1986. So I had never witnessed one until 2019. So that was, it was crazy. But the very proud history, and a lot of players have been taken by the nasty Victorians and to the AFL, the VFL, AFL and stuff. So, you know, like Stephen Kernaghan is Glenelg born and bred. You know, I think even to this day, his favourite memory was the 1985 Premiership with Glenelg, not the Carlton Premierships. So stuff like that, you know, Tony McGuinness and Chris McDermott and all those guys, and Graham Corns and all those guys are all Glenelg people.
Fantastic. Absolutely love it. All right. Like I said, I'm learning about all of these again. I'm slowly diving into it. What would you consider Glenelg's biggest rivalry and why?
Well, I would have traditionally said their biggest rivalry was the Port Adelaide Magpies. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how much you know about Port Adelaide at the moment, but they're in 1997, they put a team into the AFL called the Port Power.
Mm-hmm.
And a few years ago, they changed their SANFL team from the Port Adelaide Magpies. It just says it's still known as the Port Adelaide Magpies, but they removed the Port Adelaide, the Magpie emblem from their Guernsey, mm-hmm. but kept the Guernsey the same. So it became a Port Power Reserves team.
Mm-hmm.
So I consider the Port Adelaide SANFL team as null and void, to be honest. So,
mm-hmm.
and now that they've requested to join the VFL, I think that's a pathetic move, and I've made my point across on many other forums that they can just go and piss off to Victoria, to be honest. So,
yeah, I've had a few discussions with a few people, and I honestly think that the AFL eventually will almost kind of be forced into making a reserves comp, which it'll be fascinating to see how that goes, because I've heard some sample fans are like, good, bugger off. We don't have to worry about them whinging. And then there's some people going, if the AFL clubs disappear, then what will happen to it? So there's a lot of discussions there. We won't go into that, but it's very interesting that particular move happened recently. And I've had a few conversations with people that are, have,
yeah, well, they're basically destroying their history. They're basically giving up their history, which is absolutely shocking.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, all right. Well,
if I was an old Port Adelaide Magpie fan, I'd be spitting chips.
You're probably not the only one to probably think that, for sure. So, all right, let's go in a little bit happier times. Can you remember the first ever Glenelg Tigers item that you were given or bought?
It would have had to have been a scarf. Because back in the late 80s, early 90s, there probably wasn't a lot of other merchandise around at that point in time. You know, sport merchandising obviously has become a big thing in the last 20 years. But, yeah, probably a scarf, a tiger scarf, which I have many of.
Definitely, for sure. And I know that that's a very popular one, with it being a winter sport down there, for sure. So I love this because everybody when it comes to sport is different. Everybody fans different. So I love when I do these conversations to kind of find out, I love hearing them describe it. So could you describe your fandom for me? Because I know some people, die hard is a negative connotation. So I always kind of leave it up to you. Can you describe your fandom of the Glenelg Tigers for me?
My fiance would describe it as obsessive, and probably, and she'd probably say Glenelg is your number one love over everything in the whole world. But you know, that they are extremely important to me, and they're probably the one thing that you can press my buttons about, and I can get quite angry about, if you're especially the, you know, either Glenelg or the SANFL. If I see negative connotations towards either of those, I kind of get steamy. But yeah, I just, you know, I try to watch, even though I don't live in Adelaide anymore, I try to watch every game with the, you know, with the league pass and stuff like that, and and stuff. And I try to get back, because my family is all in Adelaide, so I go and stay with my mum and dad, as you know, when I can, and go see a Glenelg game and that. So I try to get there as much as I can.
And nothing wrong with
very,
that.
Very obsessed fan.
There's nothing wrong with that. I appreciate that. I love the passion. It's absolutely fantastic. So I the next question that I have, and I love this one because I consider it to like parents picking their favorite child. And I know some people say that they don't. I think parents do. Favorite player of the past that's played for Glenelg, and favorite player currently on the Tigers list.
See, I got a little love for Stephen Kernaghan. I know he was only there till 1985, but that 1985 grand final, he just completely dominated North Adelaide, and that was brilliant. But Nick Chigwidden is probably my favourite player of the past. I actually met him. It's a funny story. I started university in 1997, and I was went into the cafe, and I was looking at this guy sitting there, and I'm thinking, that looks like Nick Chigwidden. And I went up to him, and it was. And so I sat down, had a conversation with him. He signed an autograph for me and stuff like that. And it was fantastic. So yeah, he's a little nuggety midfielder that has been the club president. So he steered us back into premiership contention, which was great. And
Fantastic.
my current favorite player is probably, oh, there's a lot of them at the moment, but I love Max Proud, and I love our forward man. Like, what's his name? God, I can't. McBean. McBean. Liam McBean. So he's actually our new captain for 2024. So, because Max Proud retired, and then but then he's announced he's come back. Because we recruited so well that he's like, oh, we might win back to back, so he's come back.
Not a bad idea at all. So, all right,
Yeah.
this is one of my other favorite. This is another favorite question of mine. I love this because I love just seeing the sparkle in your eyes at when they answer this question. Most memorable moment so far as a Glenelg supporter.
Oh, that's hard. I do love that moment when, as I described to you before, when we were at Peter Carey's 400th game and I turned around to my father. But a favourite moment would have to be the 2019 grand final, because never actually witnessing a Glenelg premiership before. Last one being 1986. It was a long time coming, and there was tears in a lot of Glenelg supporters' eyes that day. And it was just when that final siren went. It had finally come back to the bay, and it was just unbelievable.
Fantastic. Absolutely love it, which is kind of a funny transition because my next question is thoughts on last season. And as we kind of discussed off mic before, I mean, it's hard to get much better as last year, the Glenelg Tigers, with an incredible season, get another premiership. So you have seen now two premierships in the span of about 4 seasons. So there's not much better. I mean, I don't know how you can describe it. A premiership season for the Glenelg Tigers. How awesome was last season for the Tigers?
It was an amazing season, and I loved beating Sturt in the grand final. It probably didn't match not 2019, only for the fact that I was actually at the grand final in 2019. I couldn't get to the 2023 one, and obviously the 2019 one broke the massive drought. But yes, you're right. It was a dominant performance, which was fantastic. We lost a grand final a couple of years ago, so we've been in three in the last five grand finals and won two of them. So I'm hoping 2024 is back to back, and I can be there.
Well, that'd be fantastic. We'll definitely see how that goes because I think it'll be a fantastic season for sure. So, as you kind of said, we're in the off season. We're in that nice little area that time. There's still a little ways to go, but we can smell it. It's getting closer. Do you keep an eye on the off season and how many moves have Glenelg made? Because as you said, somebody coming out of retirement sounds like there's a lot of confidence in the Bay that Glenelg has a good shot for back to back this year.
Yeah, I'm subscribed to their Facebook page and everything like that. So all their announcements and stuff I get, and I track their off-season moves. Yeah, we had Will Gould, which was a 2019 premiership player, who went to the Sydney Swans after that season.
Swan
He's
stand
actually
here.
come back to Glenelg. So the Swans cut him for some reason, and he's come back. So he's keen to have another shot at it. As I said, Max Proud is virtually a recruit for us because he retired at the celebrations of the 2023 premiership. And then he's like, yeah, okay, I'll come around again. So, and that, and actually our 2019 Premiership captain, Chris Curran, who left the club after the 2019 Premiership, has decided to come back again. So he's on for another run. And I think that was why Max Proud signed on again, because it's like, okay, Chris is back, you know, let's give the Chris and Will are back, let's give this another shake. And I think they've recruited a couple of other nice recruits from around the place, because we've lost two midfielders, which were important, including a McGarry medalist. So we've had to recruit to fill the void.
Yeah, definitely. And one of those with Will Gould is just, I just, something just didn't click with him in Sydney. I don't know what specifically. I'm not going to dive into it. I wish him all the best. I can't wait to see him go back to Glenelg and have an incredible sample season. Like I said, I cross my fingers that everything works out for him, because I really wish we could have got to see more of him on the field for sure. So, I mean, we kind of already discussed this next question. I mean, when I originally wrote this, I put expectations, and I really shouldn't, but in this situation, it could be interesting to hear what you say. What are your expectations for next season? I mean, is this one of those you expect a grand final, or are you just crossing your fingers and hoping the Bays have a chance for back to backs?
To be honest, I expect them to win every game all the time,
Your honesty, I love it.
even if we're rubbish. And but no, this season with the recruits and with the season we just had, because I don't like, even though we won the flag, I think it was a far from perfect season. You know, like the season that we lost the grand final was probably one of our most dominant seasons ever, but we just stuffed up in the grand final. But no, this season I would expect with our coach signing on for another few years, and you know, last year was his first year, so win a flag in his first year is pretty impressive. So he's obviously got, you know, he's got the skills and he's got the head of the players. So I expect a very measured preparation and shot at another flag.
Definitely. It'll be fun to watch this Glenelg Tigers team. If they're anything like they were last year, they are going to be exciting. So I like to have a little bit of fun. I have a few questions that I think, I love these because they make you kind of think a little bit. So I know over here in the States, everybody says, well, I can do the general manager's job or the list manager's job, as they say in Australia. So I have a little bit of fun. For one day, I'm going to install you as the list manager for the Glenelg Tigers. You can poach one player from any of the other clubs in the sandful. What's that one player that you bring over to the Bays to help them maybe get another back and get the back to backs in the bag?
If I could poach a player, considering we lost two midfielders, I'd probably poach Casey Voss from Sturt, because who is actually Michael Voss's son, and people know Michael Voss from the Brisbane Lions and the Carlton head coach. Yeah, his son is a really talented midfielder, so it would be good to just plug him in to our midfield, and I would be unbeatable.
Yeah, you'd be scared. That'd be a scary addition there for sure. So most people that listen to the podcast know I am a huge supporter of women's footy. So I must ask this. Do you keep an eye, or do you watch the Glenelg women's team? Because again, this last year, it was a fun team to watch, including a very, very talented Piper Window coming through at the Bays.
Yeah, who is actually the son, the daughter of Gary Window, a famous central player in the past and commentator. I do keep an eye on the women's Glenelg team. Women's football in general, I don't watch. yes, the Glenelg one, I definitely keep an eye on their scores. And I think one season we almost won every grade, including the women's, which was cool.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. So, all right, we've talked some Sandful. I do like to get in a little bit of AFL. So I got to ask, do you have an AFL side? And if so, who is it?
I have a general distaste for the AFL because it's Victorian, and for just the stuff, the way that their attitude is towards the state leagues and stuff. I absolutely hate that. But my favorite team would be Carlton, only because of the Stephen Kernahan connection.
So Well, we'll ask a kind of a combination one here is that being an SA boy, I know the AFL last year did gather round in your beloved Adelaide. Your thoughts on this? Because when it first was announced, I was a little iffy on it, but I have to say they did a magnificent job over in South Australia. I think it was very well done. I think a lot of people are excited for Gather Round again this year.
Yeah, I think, well, from the days when Adelaide hosted the Formula One Grand Prix, it and then the Adelaide 500, the touring cars, it's proven, and I know people in Australia seem, or especially people in Melbourne, seem to think that Melbourne's God's gift to everyone, and it's the place that hosts best sporting events. But I think Adelaide's proven that they are as good, if not better, at hosting sporting events. So yes, there's no surprise that the Gather Round was a success. It is great for the economy. It annoyed me in one sense, because my feeling is that, if you can promote and support something like that, which still in my mind is a Victorian thing, then you should be getting around the SANFL more. That's my view. I get annoyed with people in South Australia because they seem to pander to the AFL, which to me, I'd be happy to go one-on-one with any AFL person.
I love it. I love the passion, truly appreciate it. Again, I've had many a connection in the sandfall, and I, like I said, I absolutely love the league. I think it's doing fantastic. So I'm going to skip the next question because the next question is another AFL question, and I don't I was gonna ask you about round zero in the AFL, and this here's your chance. I was like, if he wants to pile on, I can let him go. But the whole round zero stuff with the northern states of Brisbane and New South of Queensland and New South Wales. But since you said you're not really much of an AFL person, I didn't
Yeah,
want to go with it. So I think
I'm all for expanding the Aussie rules game. I don't like, I actually hate how people refer to Aussie rules as AFL. AFL is not the sport; it's a competition in the sport. The oldest competition, Aussie rules competition in Australia, is the SANFL. And I actually don't. I actually wish I could get a handle of the person in the SANFL administration that decided to change the name to SANFL, and to call it SANFL, because it's always been the SANFL. Only stupid Victorians have called the SANFL SANFL, but somebody in the administration thought, okay, well, it's easier for everybody to say. I'm not having a go at you for calling it SANFL, because I know that's what it's widely called. But purists know that it's called the SANFL. I was actually at a grand final with my father watching his team in the grand final, and I heard a guy around, behind us say SANFL, and I actually turned around to him. This is how bad I am. I turned around to him and said, "It's the SANFL. It's not SANFL." And he said, "That's what they call it." And I said, "So you would do exactly the same as what an idiot does?"
I love it. Well,
And
I will
that
for
shut
every
him
time
up.
that we talk, I will make sure I say SANFL for definitely for
Yeah.
sure. So, and it's perfectly fine. And like I said, I respect and love the passion. I think it's fantastic that you're so connected to the league. Like I said, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I have a lot of connections in the SANFL, both on the women's and the men's side, and it's been thoroughly fantastic. Absolutely love it. So like I said, we'll skip the round zero question for sure and
Yeah, well,
jump to the
I honestly think they should have taken advantage of a few years ago. I don't know if you know about this, but there was a point in time where the SANFL was going to admit a Northern Territory team, and I think that would have been, now with the new license in Tasmania and stuff like that with the AFL, I think that would have been a good opportunity for the SANFL and South Australia to say, okay, back. 5 years ago, if we admitted a team from Tasmania and a team from Northern Territory, then you're kind of expanding your own competition
As well,
as well, because the SANFL actually stands for South Australian
Australian National
National
Football League.
Football League. So it would have been great for us to take advantage of that, and then from there, those states could have launched into it. getting an
Yeah.
AFL license. You know, that would have been,
It's a
to me, that would have been their best avenue.
great shout. I completely agree with you on that one. That's I completely agree with you on that one. I'm interested to see how, if Tassie does come through, because again, all the drama with the stadium and everything, that'll be interesting to see. But how soon will they try to get a 20th, and will they try to get it up in Northern Territories? I think that would be fantastic for the league,
Well,
but
no,
again.
see, I don't know if it is fantastic for the league. It's fantastic for the league in terms of getting those states involved, but they've completely done this a national competition wrong, because what they should have done is what soccer did when it was the NSL. Now it's the A League. You start a competition from scratch, a national competition from scratch. You limit the Victorian teams, because what's happening now is if you add a 19th and a 20th team, the talent pool gets diluted. So the quality of football at the top level is going to reduce. So you need to reduce the Victorian teams and then give those other places the licenses to make it a truly national team, national competition. You know, it's, to me at the moment, it's just still a bastardized VFL. So,
That's a
you know,
wonderful point.
if you're gonna do it that way, and then, because then what you do is you improve the state leagues by doing that as well. Because if you take, say, four teams out of Victoria and expand two teams, then you've got two full AFL lists of players that need to play somewhere. So where are they going to go? They're all going to go to the SANFL and the WNFL, and
Well, and I've thrown out the idea, and many people that listen to the podcast know this. As I said, honestly, I think the men's and the women's competition should actually be playing the other's rules. I think the men's competition should go down to 16 a side because of the fact that they have longer kicks and all the arguments that they'd say for the women to not be playing footy. I said, okay, take the men to 16 a side, take four more players off the field, and I think if you take four players off the field, shrink the lists. Instead of 40 players, go down to 30. You've got four less players that you have to worry about, the smaller lists. You do that, now you get 10 players that would have been on AFL lists that are now off. That fills your talent pool for any new teams that if you ever really wanted to, which then doesn't actually decrease your talent pool, it actually expands it because
I agree
There's
in
a
one
couple of
way.
different ways you can take a look at it.
And
I love your idea. I think it's great. The only, again, as you kind of stated, the issue you run into is Victorian teams aren't going to draw. I mean, how much of a stink has North Melbourne and St Kilda and some of these Victorian teams that have been bankrupt for years or in debt for
exactly.
major ways and had the opportunities to do something and they haven't done it. So I just don't think it's going to happen that way. Like I said,
No,
it'll.
your 16 aside is interesting. That would speed up the game,
Yep.
because you know, and obviously open it up for additional scoring and stuff, because you can't defend. You're not having There's not as many people on the field.
Exactly.
But I would say that the AFL people and the list managers would whinge that it would be too much on the play. Like, it would be the players would not be able to play as long, because they have to, you know, be more, you know, they have to run more and stuff like that, and cover more ground. So
But that's,
your attrition would be higher, and they would complain.
but well, then why are they taking away? And then Meyer then revert back to you. This is so much fun. I love these type of conversations. Is okay. Then why are you limiting rotations then? Because you're limiting rotations. The thing that everybody complains about is these guys are fresh, so that's why there's no scoring. If you limit rotations, people are tired, no scoring. No, when people get tired, then you get absolutely shithouse football. Personally, in
That's
my
right.
opinion, if you notice late in the quarter, more errors are happening. No, being tired does not lead to more scoring. It leads to shittier football, if I'm being 100% honest with you. So I love this dialogue. This is fantastic. I absolutely love it. This is absolutely great, but we'll rein it in just a little bit, but I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for going on that. So as I tell a lot of people, I have never been to Australia. It is on my bucket list. I want to get there. I've had a few South Australians say, you got to come over to an SANFL game and check that out. So if I do, I want to. So I want you to help me out. I'm doing a little bit of research. I'm making notes for this. When I go, again, Americans, we love our food. I'm not a small guy. I want to try something. What is my go-to food? What is your go-to food at the footy when you go?
The pies and pasties and are the only thing that I think everybody would probably say, you know. And in SA, it's great because it's Villies, because Villies pies and pasties are mountains above anything you get in Victoria, you know. Like my fiance, who we won't say who she supports because it's terrible, but she also says that she's given up on footy, but she comes to the Glenelg games with me when she comes over, and she wears the scarf and stuff. She loves. She's like, we're going to get a Billy's pie, you know. So it's just, you know, Billy's and Bouthers, they're SA brands. And you can't get Villies over here where I am, and you know, the best pie and pasties and stuff in Victoria is like 4 and 20, which is horrible compared to Villies.
I absolutely love it. So no, I the thing is, the one that's made the real hard charge over the last couple of months has been the hot chips. So, but to start off, when I first started this, it was the pies that absolutely flew to the lead. But hot chips is making a comeback over the last few months. So
Yeah, hot chips, yeah.
absolutely love it. So all right, the other one is of course the seat. I gotta know. If I go to a game, no matter if it's an SANFL or an AFL game, where is the most ideal place to sit to watch the footy?
Yeah, see, that's interesting because going to a Glenelg game, I know exactly where I sit because there's literally an advertising panel which has always stayed the same that I sit behind every time, and that's kind of towards the it's kind of it's not directly in the center, it's kind of off center, so I'm closer to one goal, but I can still see everything, you know. And I sit at the fence, so I can yell at the players and yell at the umpires and stuff like that. Whereas if you go to, you know, if you go to Adelaide Oval, for example, that's very different because it's obviously a bigger stadium. Most spots in Adelaide Oval are quite nice to view the football. I think if you go to an AFL game at the MCG, you can be put in what's called the nosebleed section, which is very high up, and the players are literally like ants to you. So, you know, you got to be careful when you go on to those games. But, you know, at the MCG is mainly for the atmosphere, you know. So where is it, Glenelg? I like to be in there so I can see everything and be able to yell at the players and stuff. I actually got told once, I was at a Glenelg Port game at Alberton, which is the Magpies' home ground. Glenelg were getting smashed by like 120 points at three quarter time, and I went and you used to be able to go out onto the ground at quarter time and three quarter time and they literally stand next to the players while they get the coaches to address, and I went out there and I was yelling at the players and that, and a Glenelg official told me to go away if you've got nothing good to say.
I love it. But I appreciate the passion, even if it might have seemed a little bit excessive. Absolutely love it. So, all right. And then the last question, like I said, I'm making almost a list of this, and I'm absolutely loving this because I've been able to find some of them online to be able to watch. Favorite game of footy you have ever seen, live, on the telly, at the ground, doesn't matter. Favorite game of footy you have ever seen.
Oh, geez. The 2019 grand final was probably number one. I've probably got that. So there was a game last season that myself and my fiance went over to Adelaide to see. It was the King's birthday game. It was Glenelg versus Sturt, which at the time Sturt were top, Glenelg were second. So it was billed as the, you know, big 1v2. They were trying to get 10,000 people there. I think about 8,000 turned up. The place was packed, and we murdered them by like 100
I
points.
remember
It's
that
actually
game.
it's actually called the King's Birthday Massacre. That was one of my favorite games. But you know, I think probably in terms of Glenelg's best game, favorite, Glenelg game ever, most famous game ever, would be the 1973 grand final, which is actually the only game of football that's ever been heritage listed.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it was the last grand final at the Adelaide Oval before Football Park came into existence. That's which has been since demolished, unfortunately. Now they're back at Adelaide Oval. But yeah, it was like 66,000 people there. You couldn't move, and Graham Corns won the game with a goal in the last minute. So it was heritage listed.
That's insane. That's absolutely fantastic. Thank you for sharing it for me. Well, Craig, that is it for my questions. This has been a fantastic conversation. I love the little spirit and the little discussion that we had in the center. That was absolutely fantastic. I love it. I love talking footy. I love getting to know people's thoughts and opinions on it. I don't think there's a bad opinion on any of it. So I truly appreciate you sharing that for me. But most of all, just thank you for hopping on the podcast and sharing your love for Glenelg. This is fantastic to be able to learn more about these clubs, just the littlest bit more. So I appreciate it. So thank you very much.
No worries, mate. Thank you. It's nice talking to you.
Awesome. Yeah, truly appreciate it. That is going to do it for another episode of Donnie's Disposals. Again, keep an eye out. More is still to come. I've got more supporter series chats. We are getting closer and closer to March when the AFL season comes back in. I know my guest may not totally be into that particular part, but we have the SANFL, the SANFL season, both the women and the men's getting closer and closer. Waffle and Victorian football leagues still coming to go. So keep an eye out. More footy coverage coming back very, very soon. And we will be back again with another episode of Donnie's Disposals very, very soon.